Dr. Paul, welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. Today's episode features an interview with Dr. Andy Wakefield. He is the co-producer of a really important movie. It's called Infertility, A Diabolical Agenda. It's about 30 minutes long. I've watched it. It is powerful, and it talks about what was going on in Africa with vaccines that were designed to induce infertility. We then have a discussion with Dr. Henry Ely, and he covers some of the research, some of the data that was known on the COVID vaccines before their release into the population, that these vaccines were causing failure of implantation and a very high rate of spontaneous abortion. Important information, you don't want to miss it. Enjoy the show. Dr. Paul, coming to you from the heart. Today I'm going to touch on the topic of energy and love. There's a reason. This past weekend I had an incredible experience. As a regular MD trained in the regular medical system and doing practice for 35 years, I got to go and participate as a participant in a massage therapy conference. This was the Washington AMTA, the American Massage Therapy Association annual conference. I had two full days of craniosacral therapy introductory course. And this was really eye-opening for me. I've never really understood or experienced energy work. So day one, we're supposed to use 5 grams of pressure in some of these exercises, and they give us a nickel. And this, feel this nickel. That's how much pressure you're going to apply. So you imagine applying that sort of pressure, maybe on the thighs, maybe on the feet, and you're feeling for the energy shift of that individual with that very gentle touch. I'll be honest, day one, I didn't feel it. And they're saying, well, if you can't feel it, imagine you feel it. And I really tried hard and maybe, right? But by day two, most of the time, I couldn't only just barely feel it. It was very, very clear. This was this very slow energy shift. Might be a rotational thing, an in and out thing. It's beautiful. It's amazing when you connect with energy. And there's something about energy and love, which is why I wanted to put those two things together. We have family. We have children. We have loved ones who are desperate for our love, desperate to feel our energy. And it's something we need to do. Take it home to our loved ones, take it home to our children, have that physical contact and feel that energy, slow it down. This is something, if I can learn this, you can learn this. This is something we can all learn. So we have kidsfirstforever.com. This is a new program of wellness that I'm getting started with my coworker, Dee Dee Hoover, who's actually a very, very skilled multiple decades of work in massage. We're gonna pull it all together and bring this and make this available to you. So I just wanted to share that. Don't forget your loved ones. Don't forget your children. Hug them, hold them, touch them, and just allow love and energy to flow. I'm Dr. Paul.
Humans across the globe are becoming increasingly less fertile. The worldwide fertility rate dropped by nearly 60%.
What's happening here?
Infertility is one of the major problems in gynecology in Africa.
Currently, we have a tetanus campaign. We are targeting girls, basically the childbearing age.
The Catholic Doctors Association was able to collect samples during the vaccination exercise.
They did not expect that the samples would actually be tested. Somebody actually had something big to hide.
The lab that they purported to have tested the vaccine has actually confirmed to me that no such a thing ever happened.
No laboratory ever tested the vaccine.
That is not correct.
Which leads us to a disturbing turn of events.
If you do not stop World Health Organization, then they are through with Africa. They are coming for you.
I am not saying that if you take these vaccines, it will cause infertility, but I will say that none of the manufacturers should give you any assurances whatsoever that it won't.
Welcome, Dr. Andy Wakefield, one of my true heroes. Man, it's always good to have you on the show.
Well, it's great to be here again. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Those of you who don't know this man,
He is a pediatric gastroenterologist, researcher, scientist, a real hero in the health freedom movement. I met you, well, you didn't know that I met you, but I was at a conference back in around 2003 where you were speaking at a Dan conference. And I was just so impressed with the depth of your scientific knowledge and how well-spoken you were. And even though at that time you were already, I believe, getting some persecution, you just had this beautiful spirit about you. I read your book, Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines, and it was like, wake up for me. I bought a copy for every one of my partners at the time, and I handed them this copy. So you've got to read this. Not a one of them said anything, a thank you or nothing. And you exposed what was going on. In fact, to the point now, I looked it up. The Urban Dictionary has a term, Wakefielded. This was based on you. And it says, when pharma controls mainstream media and uses blackmail, threatens, trolls, bribes, slanders, and lies in an attempt to discredit and destroy any researcher or medical professional's reputation and career who has attempted to highlight the corruption and lack of pharmaceutical accountability and safety. I'm in the process of being Wakefielded, my friend.
I love that. I was unaware of that. I got to go to the Urban Dictionary more often.
Yeah, yeah. You also produced a movie that was a really important documentary called Vaxxed. And, you know, in our pediatric world, you remember back in 2004, roughly, Pediatrics, that journal that all pediatricians read, they published this article that says there's no link between MMR and autism, something that you didn't say there was. You simply asked the question, because of your findings from your research, there might be a link. This needs to be looked into. And that was the supposed response to publish that article. Well, you exposed the fact that one of the lead authors, actually, why don't you just tell me what you exposed? Because it was so powerful.
Well, back in 2000, 2001, I went to Congress and I presented to the CDC at the time in Cold Spring Harbor. And they said, look, every kid gets MMR, not every kid gets vaccine. Why? Why some, not others? And I said, well, we think it's the pattern of exposure. We think that at least in part, it's age of exposure. The younger you get the vaccine, the greater the risk. And they said, okay, we'll look at that. They went away and they looked at it. They studied it. They found exactly what they found. Kids who got the vaccine on the CDC's recommended schedule, 12 to 18 months, were at significantly higher risk of developing autism after a period of 12 months of normal development, at least 12 months. And they destroyed the documents, they hid them, they covered it up, they told a completely different story, put millions of children at risk of serious permanent neurological injury because they wanted to protect the program. They wanted to protect themselves, not the children whom they were sworn to protect. And so William Thompson, the senior scientist on that study, came forward to Brian Hooker and said, I've done a terrible thing. I can't live with it any longer. Here are the facts and here are the documents. I kept my copy. Here is the evidence. And so that was the basis of Vaxxed. And it really was a game changer because it wasn't my opinion. It wasn't Dell's opinion. It wasn't anyone. It was the CDC confessing.
Yeah.
To having committed this atrocity.
Yeah.
And that really shook them to the core.
Yeah. Folks, if you haven't seen Vaxxed, you need to see it. It's one of the most important documentaries of our time. Although you're coming out with a new movie, Infertility, A Diabolical Agenda. Let's pivot towards that. We're in this whole world of COVID, of course, and we can chat about that as well. But what led you to look into this issue of infertility? Maybe bring us up to speed on that.
Well, with Claire Dooley, I just finished the last film, 1986, The Act, about the 1986 National Childhood Injury Act. We may finish that film, and Claire presented me with a story, with this footage that had been shot in East Africa, in Kenya, and elsewhere. And there's always a great risk as a filmmaker, film director, you know, taking someone else's footage that you may not have shot in the same way, or you'd have asked the question slightly differently. But the story was so utterly compelling that I thought this is worth the risk. This has got to get out there. So this is a story that's been around for many years. in one form or another, and you'll know about it. And a lot of people who have heard about it, it's this acrimonious debate that has raged between, on the one hand, the World Health Organization and the Kenyan Public Health Service, and on the other hand, the Catholic Doctors Association and Catholic doctors. And the allegation was that Kenyan women, amongst other millions of other women in the developing world, were being told that they were taking part in a neonatal tetanus prevention program using tetanus vaccine, when in fact, the allegation goes that they were being exposed to something completely different. They were part of an infertility, a population control program run by the World Health Organization and the complicit Kenyan government. And this raged back and forth for a while, and it came down to a study that was done where they got together and said, okay, let's hash this out scientifically. They got field samples of the so-called tetanus vaccine that were being given to women of childbearing age out in the field, samples from there, and government samples, 52 from government stores, which had the same batch number on them as those being used in the field. They were put to the test. More than half of the samples from the field were positive for the anti-fertility vaccine, but all of the government samples were completely negative. And then the government went on the attack. They went on the attack and they went after the doctors and they tried to have their licenses taken away. They did what they did to me and are trying to do to you, is put them in front of their regulatory bodies, discredit them, destroy their careers, go after the Catholic Doctors Association and the Catholic bishops, and saying they contaminated. They deliberately fiddled with these samples to get the result they wanted. And that was the underlying theme of this. And that seemed to go away. The story seemed to go away at that point, and then it gets really, really interesting. And that's where this film comes in, and that's why people have to see it, because it leaves us with a warning, a prophetic warning by one of the doctors about what is coming next. It's an astonishing insight, and it's a very, very powerful story. So we have reconciliation of that raging debate. Who was right? Who was wrong? Who cheated? Who didn't? Who lied? Who didn't? So this, I hesitate to sound trite, but it's a real whodunit, where who stands for the World Health Organization.
Well put. So I was able to preview this movie, and the quote of Dr. Stephen Karanja, "When they are through with Africa, they are coming for you."
When they are through with Africa, they're coming for you. Keep your children ready. They will come for them, and they'll come for you.
So I grew up in Africa, Andy, and I'll tell you an anecdotal story about the African culture that I was a part of. I mean, I grew up in a village. I considered myself African, even though I had the wrong color skin. I spoke Shona, the African language. And with my African friends, we're talking native African friends who were very close to me growing up. There's a cultural thing. I have adopted African kids. Okay. So, I mean, this is a culture I understand very well. There is a very, very strong and important need for fertility. Oftentimes, in fact, you know, the Western Christian model culture that was introduced, you know, 100 or 200 years ago, created, you know, you would have weddings and all the normal church stuff, but most brides would be pregnant. Now, there's a reason for that, because culturally, it was critical to be able to have children. And so, you know, when I think of, for example, the woman in your film, Atonina Mutinda, mm-hmm. I should be able to say that better. I speak Shona, but anyway, and she says,
to imagine that a system somewhere, some people somewhere are behind my inability to carry pregnancy to term, that is a diabolical agenda.
I get goosebumps just remembering her face and her emotion, and you are destroying an African woman's life if she cannot bear children. because culturally, that's vital. What do you say to that?
It absolutely is. And there are many, many reasons for that, but you're quite right. And the other thing about Africa that people need to understand, people have said, will say, when this film comes out, they will say, oh, the guy from the lab or the doctor, they were making this up. They just made it all up. You and I know, and I worked in Africa, I worked in Kenya, up on the shores of Lake Victoria back in 1980. And tragically, life was cheap compared with the developed world countries. And it was a shock for me to see it as a young medical student, just how cheap it appeared to be. And if, here's the point, that if these doctors, if these mothers, if the head of the laboratory had just gone out there to make trouble and was making this up, they would be at incredible risk. You and I know that their lives would be at incredible, and probably still are, for speaking out and telling the truth, are at incredible risk. And so they would not do this lightly. They would not do this if they were not compelled morally and professionally to report this. So that bears, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm sure as far as you're concerned, that completely buries the argument that they were just looking for attention or trying to create trouble where there should have been none. No.
Yeah. I think to paraphrase, when you were saying life was cheap, I was going, where's he going with this? You were referring to the fact that, I mean, in Africa, they'll take you out in a heartbeat if you're not on point with the government agenda, basically. And so an immense risk taken by every single person that's in this movie. And yet they were compelled, as you say, to stand up for what's true.
Absolutely. And I've just had an email from one of the doctors, you know, a forewarning that it's coming out. He'd seen it and he was absolutely delighted. So I'm relieved and pleased by that.
Fantastic. Where are people going to be able to go to see this movie?
Right. It comes out on the 10th. It comes out on Friday. It comes out on a landing page that CHD have put up, which is infertilitymovie.org, infertilitymovie.org. Thereafter, it will be available on other sites, including our own, which is team1986.com, team1986.com. And it's for free, like all of Bobby's films. This is for free. So please share it, get it out far and wide, because it really is a portend for what is happening now in America and elsewhere throughout the developed world in the context of infertility following HPV vaccine, following the coronavirus shot. So we are seeing this coming full circle, this being highly relevant to a growing problem of infertility worldwide, where if this is allowed to continue, then we are on an extinction curve as a species, and we need to get to the very bottom of this to root out what's causing it and to put it right.
Yeah. Let's take this moment to pivot now to, we have some historical scientific documentation about research in this area. I mean, there's clearly a desire in the minds of certain individuals, certain forces, if you will, powerful individuals, to reduce the world population. The eugenics movement, you know, that's been known since before Hitler. There seemed to be a real issue, we know, with the HPV vaccine causing infertility, ovarian failure. That's well published. What are you learning about the COVID jab and either in its run-up to its design that might be related to infertility, or what we're now just learning after the fact?
Firstly, let's just take the COVID shot. It was assumed, and Dr. Byron Bridle, I think, from Canada, a vaccinologist, a veterinarian, a researcher, said that we've made a terrible mistake, because when we gave this vaccine, we thought that it would remain at the site of injection in the deltoid. And now, because the studies weren't done to determine whether that was true or not, we find that it spreads throughout the body in no time at all. Here's the thing. He said that we made that assumption based upon our knowledge of other vaccines, like the childhood vaccines. Absolutely wrong. There is no evidence, zero, that those shots remain at the site of injection with the childhood vaccines. Those studies have not been done. So there is a major assumption by someone expressing concerns about the COVID shot, but getting it wrong from the very outset. Then is this issue of making the assumption that it would remain at the site of injection, not disseminate throughout the body. If you intend to give a vaccine to 7 billion people, far less than that, but 7 billion people, you cannot afford to make any assumption, zero. Because if you get it wrong for a lot of people. You get it wrong for the whole world. You get it wrong for all time. And that was an extraordinary insight into the almost kindergarten thinking of vaccinologists, of vaccine manufacturers. And where did it go? When they looked in the animal models, it went, amongst other places, to the ovaries in large amount. So here you have the potential to set up an inflammatory autoimmune attack against the woman's own ovaries, and you're going to go out there, as Fauci has said, and proclaim that there is no impact upon fertility or a woman's reproductive capacity. That is absolutely reprehensible, but that's what they do. In the absence of any data, they make it up. And that's what's happened. So we are seeing the prophecy of Dr. Stephen Karanja coming absolutely true here. And as we enter this phase of natality being exceeded by mortality throughout the world, where birth rates are plummeting, we are on that extinction curve. Now, if you don't know what's doing it, if you've inflicted something like the coronavirus shot on people, and as a consequence, down the line, suddenly all the girls, perhaps the boys as well, are infertile, then you've got a major problem on your hands. And then to find on top of that, that there is a deliberate policy to deceive women and render them infertile in countries like Africa and South America, India, then the public health authorities, the World Health Organization, have sunk to new depths. And if anyone in America, anyone in the world thinks the World Health Organization is fit for a haircut, let alone running public health policy, what goes into our bodies, our bodily autonomy, our global pandemic responses, then they are sorely wrong. And that is why this film is so timely, because you get a clear insight into exactly who the World Health Organization really are.
Yeah. And Dr. Karanja made that that dire warning that they're coming for you. That was how long ago, roughly?
I think that was back in 2019.
Okay. So that was pre-COVID. That was pre-COVID. And he was so spot on. The folks, the mRNA jab, you can't really call it a vaccine because it's just gene therapy, but it's not really therapy because you're not treating anything. You're manipulating a person's genetics so that they manufacture spike protein. And Dr. Wakefield, what you're saying is that spike protein does like to congregate or collect in the gonads of as well as other areas.
Yes, indeed. And all of these studies should have been done long in advance of ever putting it into human beings.
Yeah.
And it would never have been given.
Right.
But that was not done.
So what would your advice be to anybody of childbearing age and, of course, children with regards to the COVID jab?
I think with regard to any jab, you do not put into any pregnant women any injection or anything, as far as I'm concerned. You leave well alone. Nature has really refined the process of pregnancy over millions and millions of years. We don't need you, thank you very much. Okay, we most certainly don't need you telling us that we're going to protect our unborn child or our newly born child if we give them antibodies in advance when they're at zero risk of mortality from COVID anyway.
Right.
It's all a contrivance. So for women out there, firstly, watch this film, get informed. I can't say that enough. And now the silver lining of COVID has been that it went from a handful of people 30 years ago, Paul, when I first got involved, to half the world, over half the world now, is expressing major concerns about, one, the need for these vaccines, and two, whether they're safe or not. So that is what winning looks like, uncomfortable as it is. And more people are joining that band of brothers and sisters every day, tragically, because so many people are being injured. And mothers who expect to get pregnant, others who are pregnant, then please, please, please get informed. Watch these films. There's an abundance of information out there that will help to keep you safe.
Yeah. I mean, I know you, Andy, personally, so you're a person I can trust like I would trust my life to you. Those who are listening to the current sources of information out there, whether it be the World Health Organization or the CDC or the FDA or their public health officials, in my opinion, I wonder what you have to say about it, they're listening to lies as if it was the truth.
Yeah, what's astonishing, Paul, is now, you know, Pfizer tried to have all of their documents locked down, secret for 75 years. You and I and everybody else involved would have passed on. And why did they want to do that? Why? Well, those documents were released by the court, and now they are being analyzed in the most effective way, and astonishing stories are evolving, specifically in relation to, but not exclusively, in relation to fertility, preterm labor, and fetal loss. And I think there was a large number of women who didn't go into the study knowing they were pregnant, but turned out to be pregnant. The vast majority of those cases were lost from follow-up. How did that happen? But apparently around 33 of them were followed through. Then there was fetal loss in 28 of those 33 pregnancies. Mm. 28. No wonder they wanted to keep those numbers quiet for 75 years. And this is the kind of information that people need to have.
Enough people are going to be harmed, and that's just so sad, because it's going to be some of our loved ones who fall for the lies and the deception that what they need is a COVID jab, when in fact that is the worst thing they could possibly do for their health. But people are going to start waking up, and hopefully enough people wake up in time that we have vessels for fertility. Like you said, we are up for a real crisis in the coming decades.
Yes, we need to look after our women. We need to protect them. I mean, in tribal countries like Africa, they were held in great esteem. These were matriarchal societies that valued women almost above all other things, because they were able to give life and sustain the world, sustain Africa. And the idea, as you point out, that taking away a woman's birthright, her fertility, and lying to her about it, telling her that she's doing something good for her unborn child or her future children, when in fact it was quite the opposite. This is, as I say, it's a new moral and professional low that the World Health Organization have reached.
Yeah, a diabolical agenda indeed. Wow. So what should we do with the World Health Organization? I mean, they were sort of propped up as this wonderful savior of the world, and we're starting to learn maybe not so.
Exactly. What was heartening and wonderfully timely, a sort of timely irony, is that out of Africa came, 47 countries saying no to the World Health Organization's new position on control of global pandemic policy. There it is, a kick in the teeth to the organization that has really used the African people in some very bad ways. And I was delighted to hear that Africa had taken the lead on simply saying no.
Here's a man, Dr. Andy Wakefield, who had his career ripped from him simply for speaking the truth and not backing down when he knew what he knew. I see so many parents, they buckle to the pressure to get the COVID jab, or, you know, they've had to buckle to the pressure to get the childhood immunization schedule because, well, otherwise my kid can't go to school, or they can't go to their sports event, or we can't travel to Europe or wherever they want to travel. I mean, sometimes there's sacrifice involved. How do we wake people up? What would you say to that?
Yeah, you know, it's about, you can't live your life by permission from other people. You can't go to a restaurant or go to a store or go to a movie or a show with someone else's authority. This was a right that you had to move freely, to go about your life. Now you've given all that freedom up. It's become conditional upon someone else's decision making that if you want to do this, you will comply with the diktat, with what I tell you to do. That isn't freedom. So please don't tell me you need to do it. I needed to get the jab to go to work. No, you didn't. You had a choice. You were given a choice. So don't forego that choice. Don't neglect that choice. It's there for a very good reason. It may be difficult, as you say. It may cause hardship. But please, you still have that ability to make the decision. Do not be coerced into this. And for vaccination policy, as you know, vaccination is a public health measure that should be, the success of which should be based entirely upon the trust of the consumer or the consumer's parents in the policymakers, not in the vaccine. The vaccine is an innocuous thing that sits on a shelf and until someone decides what to do with it, how to give it, it's the policymakers. And so once that confidence in the policymakers has gone, which it has now, they will not get it back. All you've got left is force. You can take doctors' licenses away. You can attack scientists. You can retract their science. You can go after parents. You can take children away from their parents. When you are on that road, it's going nowhere. Force is a road to nowhere, and it will come to an end. So please, hold out, be strong. We are winning. We've gone from a handful to more than half the world. 72%, according to the CDC's own data, 72% of people are now no longer compliant with the COVID vaccine schedule recommended by the CDC. They didn't get the first dose, they didn't get the second dose, or they didn't get the boosters. They're just saying, no, we're not convinced of the need or of the safety. So they have, I don't know whether you saw Bill Gates on television the other day when he was asked about to sum up the success or otherwise of this entire program. He was a broken man. He was a broken man. He could not impose his will of fear on the entire globe. He'd failed miserably. The whole thing, as you pointed out, is an utter failure on every single level. The tragedy is that a lot of people will be harmed as a consequence. But it was interesting to witness Bill Gates broken by his own hubris.
Folks, freedom is not free. We are at a time in our world where there's a massive shift occurring. And as you pointed out, Andy, they're trying to force their will because they don't have a product that's doing what it's supposed to do. And in fact, they're being exposed. And your movie is a big piece of this, of exposing their diabolical agenda. So many of our forefathers, family members in our histories have stood and fought for our freedom. This is our time, folks. This is our time to make sure that their sacrifices were not in vain and that we're going to come through this free people around the world and get rid of this diabolical, power, money hungry, grabbing, I don't know what to even call them. I'll give you the closing remarks, Andy.
Well, I'd love to hear you say that because it is America will lead the world, needs to lead the world by example in standing for freedom. And Americans, that is your responsibility. As you say, people suffered and died to provide us with what freedoms we enjoy now in this country. The reason I came to this country in political and professional exile precisely because of the freedoms that it offered in terms of medical research and care. Those are being eroded. That has to stop. And the great thing is that people are now recognizing that, standing up, and it is going to come to an end.
It sure is. Don't miss this movie, Infertility, A Diabolical Agenda.
Well, thank you so much.
Welcome, Dr. H. Henry Ely. You are one of my favorite guests on Against the Wind. I have tasked you with a big one today. I there's a new movie out that Andy Wakefield has helped produce.
Right, right.
And it's covering this issue of fertility problems with vaccines historically and also specifically the COVID jab. And I know you're you're my best go-to researcher when it comes to a guy that can get down to the data and find the pertinent peer-reviewed literature. So I wanted to just see what you have for us.
Well, we got a few things, Dr. Paul, and you're one of my favorite hosts. So thanks for having me back. So we have a couple of things. I think the first thing we want to start off with everybody is this understanding that the mRNA sequences do definitively reverse transcribe. They do reverse transcribe and upload into DNA. We know that based upon the Lund University study that was published, peer-reviewed and published February 28th of this year, right? So We have to start with that assumption that everybody who's gotten any of the shots, we have a reverse transcription process going on, and now that shot has become a part of their genome. So you have to start with that assumption. The next thing we do is we have to start connecting some of the dots. And this is where you may be familiar with a study that came out, I think it was leaked last summer from Japan, where they were assessing where does the actual mRNA sequences, where do they go? Because we were told that they stay in the local area and they don't go to any other tissues. But in the first study done, and this was done by Japan, they showed that there was uptake into every other part of the body, especially into reproductive organs and especially into female reproductive organs. So that becomes immediately concerning because what you're telling us and what's actually happening are two very different things. And in this situation, we can't have something like that. So I think we start with those two understandings that the shot moves around once it gets injected in the body and that there is automatic DNA reverse transcription, or I should say mRNA reverse transcription into DNA. So now it uploads and become a part of the genome. Now we have a problem. The problem that we have most pertinently is that now we don't have an off switch. This spike protein now can be produced, which we know injures the cell, which we know injures the body, can now be produced ad nauseum for the rest of the person's life. So that's going to, of course, create big problems, and big problems especially with the most sacred event in the continuation of human life, which is not just conception, but implantation of a fetus into the inner lining of the uterus, right? Like this moment where you go from conception of the egg into implantation of that now fetus into the blood-rich tissue of the uterus is a sacred event. So that means that we have to turn to studies to see what's going on. And typically what we do first are animal studies. Now, are you familiar with the rat animals, the 42 Worcester rats that were studied by Pfizer in the recent release? Have you heard about this?
I heard about it, but give us the details.
You got it. Let's read this together. And let's give due credit here on this one, because this is going to be done by the website Zero Mandatory Vax. And it was done by the Exposé on June 7th. So this is a very recent article, just a week old, that they put out. And what I liked about this was they're citing everything. They're citing the Pfizer documents that have been released and things like that, actually taking screenshots and showing you what page they're on. So yeah, I don't think you can get much better, you know, than that. So we look at this, if you scroll down on this page a little bit, what you find is that we have this study here. It's called The Lack of Effects on Female Fertility and Prenatal and Postnatal Offspring Development in Rats with BNT162B2, that's the Pfizer shot, and mRNA-based COVID vaccine. See, it just rolls off the tongue. You know what I mean? These kind of things, these kind of wonderful studies, they roll off the tongue. So the study was performed 42 female Wistar hand rats, 21 were given the Pfizer shot, 21 were not. So what we're seeing in here right off the bat is that in the control group, right? In the control group, there's no real issues with fetal development in the cervical or lumbar. There's a little bit what they're showing here in the short ribs here. But what you're seeing is definitive genetic mutation here. And that's where a study, that's where an animal study comes in, because what they want to assess is, are these shots mutagenic? Do they change the way the fetus develops? Okay. And what they proved here conclusively was yes, in half of the subjects that got the shot, there were definitive changes in the fetal development. That should be a huge red flag right there in this study. But it wasn't really, it was just kind of like, no big deal, right? It's mutagenic, but no big deal. So then we go a little bit more. And when we look at some of the additional stuff that's in here, we see this issue right here, Dr. Paul. This was the one that really stood out from this table two of this same rat study. So again, control group and the group that got the experimental shot. When you look at pre-implantation loss, you see something very concerning. Here in the control group, pre-implantation means this is, there was conception, but the egg didn't implant into the uterus, right? So you, now the egg won't have a blood supply to grow and develop. So that basically it's as if there's going to be no, it's as if conception didn't even matter, you know, at that point, right? So pre-implantation loss, what we're seeing is there's only 4.09 in the control group. So this is what we're saying. This is what's kind of normal in this procreation experience. After the shot, it's more than double. So this is another huge red flag right here that shows us that there are problems with implantation. So it's not a conception issue. It's now a, once the egg has been conceived, once conception has occurred, implantation is now the problem. So that tells us there's a problem with the uterus. And then that also suggests that there's going to be problems going full term. Well, now this starts making a little more sense, because in April of last year, Tom Shimabukuro, out of the CDC, one of the guys that we are eyeballing right now for willful misconduct and his role in the changing of death certificates, this same Tom Shimabukuro from the CDC publishes a study last April in the New England Journal of Medicine, preliminary findings of mRNA COVID-19 vaccine safety in pregnant persons, right? And what they're doing throughout here is cherry picking stats from VSafe, which is a pregnancy registry, is cherry picking stats to try and say that, yes, this looks like it's safe for pregnant women, right? So this is the illusion they want to create based upon data that very few people have access to, and based upon data that you can cherry pick and interpret and leave certain things out. So this whole study is a case study in really fraudulent science, in my opinion, and fraudulent interpretation of data, until you get to this table all the way down here. And this is why it's so important for people to read past the headlines. You got to really delve into things with this, because they're telling you the truth, but it's never in the headline and it's never in the abstract or in the conclusions or something like that. It's in the actual data, and you got to go look at the data. So like, you know, for this one, that's why we can look at the data and go, yeah, all this other stuff looks normal, but this is the big thing that's, you know, you have to look at what they're actually saying and form your own conclusion. So for this one, where Tom Shimabukuro published it, and this is peer reviewed as well, New England Journal of Medicine, right? You have to get down, Dr. Paul, all the way to table four. And what they did was they attempted to show through data that spontaneous abortions weren't a big deal percentage-wise, right? Because they're saying, how often does this normally happen? Well, they give you this, first of all, this ridiculously huge range of normally before the shots, it happens 10 to 26% of women. Well, that's a huge range, right? We can't tighten that up a little bit more. But then when they're looking at the VSafe registry for women post-shot and who've subsequently gotten pregnant, what they show is that it's about 12.6. So that looks like it's in range, right? This looks like, oh, okay, there's no big deal here, right? Go and look at the data. Because when you look at the data right here, what do we see? A total of 96 of the 104 spontaneous abortions, or 92.3%, occurred before week 13 of gestation. So at the very least, the recommendation from the CDC should have been no shots in the first trimester. That should have been right off the bat guaranteed. When you have a 92.3% of your spontaneous abortions happen in that time period, that should be the biggest red flag right there, saying under no circumstances do we give this to a woman unless we know definitively she's not pregnant or that she's at least beyond the first trimester. So far, so good. Like, yeah. We were wondering why this happens. And then what? And then you get to finally read this rat study and you see why it happens. Well, why is it happening? Implantation loss, right, is accelerated or is doubled after the shot, right? So this would explain why you're getting spontaneous abortions in the first 13 weeks of gestation, right there. You're having implantation issues, which is what we suspected, and then we got confirmed. So they're telling the truth. They're just not having their feet held to the fire on the truth, right? Because they're telling it. So what that then takes us to is when we're looking at the Pfizer documentation, actually, let's read a couple of things here. So we're going to read, this is referenced from the reissue 5.3.6 post-marketing experience on page 12. So this is page 12 and some subsequent pages in the Pfizer. This is the Pfizer documents that are being released. And I would encourage anyone watching to make sure and follow what Dr. Naomi Wolf is doing on this right now. I think she is all over this topic. I think her and the legal team that she's working with are doing the best job in the country of assessing the Pfizer documents specifically for infertility and gestation and pregnant women across the board. I think she's doing a great job. So when we look at this, I want to read a couple things. Now, this comes actually from the UK government's registration 174 information for UK healthcare professionals that we had seen, because we're seeing different countries have very different interpretations of this product for pregnancy and for infertility. In the UK, this is what they say for pregnancy. Very clear, animal reproductive toxicity studies have not been completed. This is in bold, all right? COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, the Pfizer one, is not recommended during pregnancy. Very different than our CDC. Our CDC says, no problem, get as many shots as you want. UK is saying the exact opposite, not recommended during pregnancy. Why? Because they're actually have some level of compassion still left in it. It was the only conclusion I could come to. In addition, women of childbearing age should be advised to avoid pregnancy for at least 2 months after their second dose. Why would you say that? You would say that because of the rat study and the troubles with implantation. You would say that because of this Tom Shimabukuro study over here from the CDC. You would say those things because what you're saying to them is, we are very concerned that you're going to have trouble, not with conception, but with implantation and having and getting through the first trimester of your pregnancy post-biologic inoculation. So what they're also saying here about breastfeeding is it is unknown whether COVID-19 mRNA vaccine for Pfizer is excreted in human milk. It is. It's the spike protein is. I'm sure we're going to find that. A risk to the newborn infants cannot be excluded. Well, this is now we're talking. You can't exclude it, so that means you can't recommend it until you can definitively exclude it, right? COVID-19 mRNA shots for Pfizer should not be used during breastfeeding and fertility. It is unknown whether COVID-19 mRNA shots from Pfizer has an impact on fertility. Well, that's another way of saying it's known. It's unknown. We can't prove that it doesn't have any impact. So what we're going to do is suppress data and information that shows that it does, because we don't want any moms out there being like, can you imagine how many moms would be furious if they realized they lost a pregnancy because they were lied to? And that's what we're finding. So when we get here, I guess the thing I wanted to kind of in with here, and I have data pulled up. So if we want to go through Veris, we can look at some data as well to substantiate. But I thought this right here, Dr. Paul, was super telling. So Pfizer shows that 270 known cases of exposure to mRNA, like how they call it, exposure, right, to mRNA during pregnancy, as if it wasn't a choice of yours, you weren't lied to. All right, so what they showed here was that 124 mothers had severe adverse reactions. that should be enough to stop a clinical trial right there, or stop a recommendation for this demographic right on the spot.
That's half of the moms.
That's half right there had a serious one. So then they said, okay, of those serious ones, they're going to say, well, they're not real. 49 were not really serious, but 75 still were very serious. And here's what we saw in those 75. Spontaneous abortions, 25 of the 75 had a spontaneous abortion. Uterine contractions during pregnancy, premature rupture of the membranes, abortion missed, one fetal death. So we know mutagenic, we know that it's caustic to a potential fetus. You don't think a mom would want to know that? An expecting mom wouldn't want to know. How can you fulfill informed consent without telling a mom who's pregnant or wants to be, or a woman that wants to become pregnant, that these are possibilities and that we have numerical analysis? And what's so disturbing about this information right here, Dr. Paul, is when you look at it broken out a little bit more succinctly, just graphically, and we just take the only cases that Pfizer actually followed to what they considered conclusion. All right. Only 34 of the cases were followed to what they considered conclusion. 23 of them, the conclusion was spontaneous abortion. Two of them were premature death in the baby. Two of them were intrauterine death. One of them was neonatal death. Five of them, there's still an outcome pending. Only one out of these 34 had what was considered a normal outcome. Only one. That is a horrific track record right there. And what it starts doing in, you know, when we look at the red boxes for some of this, it starts explaining why we've had 4,711 confirmed miscarriages post-inoculation. It's why when we look at the childhood summaries, well, this is really 5 through 7. It's not for fertility. So I'll save that one. It's why when we go to the adverse events reporting system for data through June 3rd, what we see is how many birth defects have occurred? At least 1,095. So what we know, and one of the big questions we have when we are talking about fertility is, one, is there a problem at conception? Well, it doesn't look like there's a problem at conception, which would say that this, unfortunately, is more of a female genetic issue, and which would explain why we had a higher content in the Japanese study in ovaries and not testicles, right? So, you know, if we were looking at men, we'd have to check sperm counts and stuff like that, right? But for conception, it doesn't appear there's an issue so much. The issue is in the first trimester, and especially during implantation, which would now turn these shots into something that is contributing to infertility and then supporting a eugenics approach to depopulation or lowering population, with having the plausible deniability of saying, well, it could have been anything. It could have been the chemicals that you were exposed to, you know, in your water. It could have been, you know, you had a rough night one night and had an argument with your significant other. It could have been it could have been, you see what I mean? They can put it off. And because what they're doing intentionally is ignoring the peer-reviewed scientific studies that were conducted that show conclusively that there are grave concerns about implantation, about first trimester viability of the pregnancy. And then that's not even to get into the long-term implications of what it means to have spike protein being produced continuously because there has been a mRNA reverse transcription into DNA and now upload into the cells. So what do we know? We know that there are over 2 billion people on the planet, according to the numbers, that have been genetically modified. By definition, this is what I want to be really clear with everybody on. This is not gene therapy. Gene therapy would imply that there is something going on that is enhancing or repairing damaged DNA. What this is force uploading a biologic, an experimental biologic, into a person's DNA to produce a protein substance called spike protein that we know injures the body. You cannot get the designation of being a therapy when you injure cells and you injure tissues. This is just straight GMO. 2 billion people are walking around now genetically modified. And if that mRNA sequence has uploaded into their reproductive organs, there are definitively going to be challenges to procreation now, which then does serve it. So the data and all the you know, and that's not all the studies we have on it, but some of the pertinent studies we have on this show conclusively, and Pfizer even knew this, which means the FDA and the CDC even knew this. What it says conclusively is that these do have an impact on fertility, and especially in the female body. And that's deeply concerning. And if it's not concerning to people out there, then it damn well better be, because they're not going to slow down with these mRNA platforms if we don't force them to stop this murdering of our people and our women and our children.
It's incredible. As we speak, this will air in a week. So, but as we speak today on June 14th, the FDA committee is discussing, right, the change of this primary series to be allowed for children 6 years through 17 years. And then tomorrow they vote on this for both Pfizer and Moderna to include it in the 6 months to 4-year-old age group. Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen with that? It's going to be approved, right? It's going to be approved despite mountains of well thought out, well expressed opposition, scientific and ethical and otherwise. They still have yet to address the fundamental question of necessity for these age ranges. They still refuse to acknowledge natural immunity and saying that natural immunity contraindicates you from needing this, because to do so would then negate profit margins for all of the other shots that they make money on. People have to understand that there's a huge advantage in why they have moved their interest in portfolio. And I'm talking about the pharmaceutical industry, why they've moved their focus to shots. They've moved their focus to shots because shots, number one, have them completely protected under 42 USC 300AA-11 and -22, which says that in the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, you can't sue them. So there's no liability for them. If they can get these things mandated, which they've been successful in certain states that have gone into a totalitarian kind of mentality, like California, if you can get it mandated, now you don't have to do any advertising. Right. And if you don't have to pay when your product hurts somebody, and if you don't have to pay any advertising, and it's mandated that every child has to get it, you have a incredible source of revenue that is guaranteed every year to make up for the enormous losses of revenue that they have in their other pharmaceuticals that they have to sell that have to go through legitimate or pseudo legitimate FDA regulation, and they have to advertise on TV and all that other nonsense. So people have to understand this. It still comes down to just simple dollars and cents. And what it comes down to is they're using our children as profit centers. They don't give a damn about our children. This has nothing to do with public health. This has everything to do with profiting off of pushing a product that doesn't work, does injure, and will, and now, unfortunately, in many cases, lead to infertility and the inability of little girls to have the experience of being a mom. And that is all by design.
Moms and dads, human beings who are thinking, listen carefully. We have to stand and say no, because the government, the CDC, the NIH, the FDA, the public health departments, your doctor most likely, will not give you the straight scoop like you just got here from Dr. H. Thank you so much for sharing this information. And folks, this is really a war on humanity. It's a war on your fertility. It's a war on your health. And there's nobody standing there to protect you but you. And we have to all wake up to that, because you teach. Let's have you end on a nice positive note, because I know that's how you are. But you have such an amazing educational course at the Energetic Health Institute. You've put out a massive, I was just perusing it today, a book that you're giving away for free.
Right.
Just tell people how they can get a hold of your information and close us out on a positive note.
Amen. Well, I think the thing we've learned most is that if we want to be free, we're going to have to be healthy, right? Like, there's no better way in this pseudo crazy war that they're creating on humanity to give pharma the finger in my opinion, than to just say, I'm going to be healthy. I got this. I got this body. I'm good. Right. I know how to take care of it. So what we do at energetichealthinstitute.org is we teach people how to do that, how to love yourself. We just happen to use holistic nutrition and detoxification. That's one of our more popular courses right now, Dr. Paul. People are asking, how do I use bentonite clay? How do I use psyllium? How do I get my body cleaned out, especially from these shots? And that's what we're learning how to do for people who've taken the shots. And it's a phenomenon called nucleotide excision repair. And it's something that we're learning how to teach the cell how to engage on a regular basis so the body can cut out the things that shouldn't be there if there was a reverse transcription and you did unfortunately get the shot. So it's all in what we're doing right now. But check us out at energetichealthinstitute.org and you can get a free copy of chapter 5 of my book on eating healthy. So you can learn the 16 principles for eating healthy and what eating healthy really is. So you don't have to guess. You don't have to go, well, am I eating healthy? Maybe. You can actually eat healthy. And we have some new courses coming out this month too, the art of eating healthy, the art of fasting, and the art of cellular healing, which is for people who are in a do-it-yourself mode and like, look, I'm ready to be responsible for my health and I'm tired of the government thinking they own my body when they really don't. So if you want to be healthy, folks, and you want to be free, you know, come check us out at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Highly recommend it. Thank you, Dr. Ely. God bless.
Dr. Paul, thanks for watching the show. Please visit doctorsandscience.com. There you can access our members-only section. This show is member-supported. We don't have to take sponsors. We don't have to have anybody controlling the content of our show. This is a huge perk most people aren't aware of. Your membership gives you access to my ebooks, transcripts of every show, PowerPoints from talks I'm giving around the country, and live bonus peeks at behind-the-scenes work we're doing, my off-the-cuff thoughts and reviews on current events. Your support makes all this possible. Thank you. Help me spread the truth and share this on social media and with your friends at doctorsandscience.com. I look forward to running with you against the wind. Go to our website, doctorsandscience.com, sign up, donate if you can, and let's make this the weekly show the nation's been waiting for. I'm Dr. Paul.